Well, you've heard it.
Yep.
But you said you've never seen the banjo. And that makes sense, Beam, because you've never seen the Radio Ramblers play live. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that'll happen one day soon. And Tim May, a guy who probably knows about the dueling banjos from down in Alabama, welcome him on here, Beam, the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Tim, how we doing, sir?
I can't believe he's never seen Deliverance. I mean, geez, it's one of those movies you're supposed to watch. I was going to guess the oboe or the bassoon when I had my shot, but I guess I was late.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be the winner of the $50 gift card. I've seen Deliverance. I've seen the banjo on screen. I just have not seen it in real life. I've never seen it in person. So there you go.
I had a brother that played the banjo along with about 50 other instruments, but they're interesting. They're interesting for to say the least.
I'm sure that they are. Timmy, always appreciate the time, buddy. Hopefully you're having a great little Tuesday. I just got to ask, so you guys are getting to watch practice more and more and more. We know that the Woody Hayes got opened up for business. You got members of the media in there getting to hang out. Saw that you were there yesterday morning. Biggest takeaway from you watching this team so far in spring ball has been what?
The incredible depth at wide receiver and running back and the offensive line. That's been my biggest takeaway. And, of course, you could say quarterback right now, too, because you've got three extremely highly those were two really adjectives I didn't need to use, but three highly recruited quarterbacks who are battling for the number one job. But I'm just – offense across the board, it's – like I said on our rapid reaction yesterday after watching practice, it's almost stunning how much talent they've accumulated over the last several years at those spots.
No, it's very impressive, Tim, and like you said, and so you've got receivers very deep, you know, running back, they've recruited really well there. Tony Alford's done a great job. Yep. Offensive line deep, although they're shuffling some pieces around trying to make that work. Talk a little bit about, you know, the position of linebacker. They're losing Hilliard. They're losing Borland. They're losing Warner. They're losing Browning. You know, four guys who were seniors, played a lot of football, all very different, could kind of check a lot of boxes. You know, do you see this being a situation where, you know, is it more like Taraja Mitchell and is it, you know, Kayvon Pope, or do you think they go down the depth chart and, you know, pull some younger guys out there who maybe have come in who haven't been in the program as long but are very, very highly talented?
I think, you know, I think they could do all those things. You know, like, for example, Dallas Gantz having to miss the spring because of a foot injury. You know, as Jeremy Birmingham pointed out yesterday, Taraja Mitchell was out there with a knee brace on. Kevon Pope is still out there, you know, banging away. But, you know, you would think those would be the immediate next three linebackers to be the starters, at least. When, in fact, they have three linebackers on the field. But, you know, for example, Reed Carrico had an interception in the middle of – I think it was the last play we saw in the middle of the practice before we were ushered out. You know, we don't get to watch all of a practice, but any little bit helps. But
certainly a man with your stature, you get to watch the entire thing, right?
No. Now, maybe your man Jim Lachey and Paul Keels did, but, you know, the play-by-play voices plus St. Andrews, he might have gotten to too, but the book, because they're doing the game, you know, I'm just doing that tailgate show from 10 to 11:45 on your beautiful station on Saturday. But I digress. But yeah, the bottom line, I mean, they've got to have some guys melt, and some of these guys come on, you know, you think in preseason, because Austin Ward and I were talking about that the other day. I'm writing a story about it later in the week too. You're going to watch that scrimmage on Saturday. You may even play, as y'all say, triple figures to get to watch it, you know, on the aftermarket. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to leave there knowing exactly what their defense personnel-wise is going to look like in the fall because of the injuries they've dealt with in the secondary and the new guys that may be coming on. So this is really an interesting time because it's never – I'm not saying they don't have talent on the defensive side. I'm far from saying that. I think the defensive line across the board is fairly loaded itself, which would give any coach, would give any coach some solace knowing that his offensive and defensive lines have such depth. But behind that on defense, that's what we're all watching because, you know, Seven Banks, for example, has had to miss the spring or most of the spring because of an injury. Cam Brown's coming back from an injury from last year. He's not practicing. You know, you've got these young guys stepping up, like, or youngish guys like Tyreek Johnson. Is he now ready for prime time? legend Cavazos. Is he going to, you know, step up and play up to his, what a lot of people thought was his potential? I mean, there are all these guys that could step up. And the ringleader back there is going to be, of course, Josh Proctor. That's without a doubt.
All right, so I got to ask you, talking to our man Timmy May from Letterman Row on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You can follow Tim on the old Twitter machine at Tim_May Sports right there. So offensive line, incredibly deep position. We're going to have some new faces coming in, but you also have returning vets, of course. You look at Thayer Munford over on the left-hand side, Nicholas Petit-Frere on the right. Likely Paris Johnson's going to slot somewhere in there. Harry Miller has been injured for most of the spring. Matt Jones played pretty damn well in relief effort of him. You've heard nothing of good things but about Luke Weipler this year. Is there a potential for Harry Miller to lose his starting spot in this rotation this year, Tim?
Yeah, I would say there's a potential. You know, you say Weipler, I say Whippler. Just don't call him late for practice. But I digress. Bottom line, yeah, I mean, I think anything's possible. Here's the thing. I mean, Paris Johnson Jr., you know, they've got to play him. Yeah. I mean, if you just watch him warm up, I mean, and I'll put some video out there of him just going through a hands drill. And, you know, I commented how much I liked his feet because of the way he just glides, man. And, you know, of course, then Willie Anderson, former All-Pro, big-time All-Pro, you know, one of the guys who's helped coach him, basically corrected me. That was a hands drill. I go, that wasn't – but my point was how well this big, huge man moves, and there's no way you don't get him on the field in some form or fashion. But as Greg Studrawa, the offensive line coach, said, you know, last week, you've got these two bookends at tackle, man, maybe the two best returning tackles in the country, mm-hmm. You know, in Thayer Munford and Nicholas Petit-Frere. You don't mess with those guys. I mean, those you just kind of stack the books in between them. Yeah, I think Harry Miller, but Harry Miller came out and I even had a video show, put a video online of him doing a little bit of drills before he went back into the rehab section of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center yesterday. So, you know, I think he understands the urgency. You know, he came back, he missed the Clemson game, and then came back and didn't start the national championship game. Matthew Jones is a guy who's really come on at one of the guard spots. And, you know, as the old saying goes, the train keeps moving down the track. You better make sure you jump on and hang on. And that's what's going to be interesting in the fall. I mean, you know, the Donovan Jackson kid coming in, whether he can, I don't know, whether he can add something right away remains to be seen. But he's extremely highly rated. And coming out of Texas, you know, he's got to be pretty good.
I mean, exactly, right? I mean, we're from you're from, so it's all good. Timmy, I always appreciate
Actually,
the time.
He's right down the road from where my one remaining brother and his family live. But go ahead. I didn't mean to digress into that.
Oh, you're good. I mean, we get digressed all the time on this show, so it's nothing that we're not used to. Timmy, always appreciate it, bud. 10 to 11:45 Saturday, UAR, the crusher of balls himself, Jake Ballard.
Right. Frankenstein, Jake Ballard. I mean, it's the one time I've ever played golf where I felt sorry for the golf ball. I mean, unbelievable. And, of course, the face of his driver. It has a grimace. The face of his driver always has a grimace.
Yeah, it sure does. Buddy, you playing anywhere today? I mean, it's a beautiful day on tap. I'd be upset if you didn't have a tee time.
I got stuff to do. I may sneak out at the end of the day, if you know what I'm saying. I'm sorry to miss playing with you guys on Sunday, man, but not really, because it was windy and rainy, and that's not exactly – I don't mind the windy. I just don't like the rainy.
It was like British Open conditions out there. It was tough. Timmy took a 12 on a par 5, so that's good. You avoided that disaster, which was good.
He did pretty well. He did pretty well other than that. I know about – we've all gone 10 cup, man. We've all gone 10 cup.
Absolutely, we have. Timmy, always appreciate it, bud. Enjoy your day. Hopefully you get a little golf in, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
See you, guys. See you, Bobby.